Thank you. All right. I know some of you don't really know me that much, so I just want to introduce myself and to easily, you know, remember me. There are just four things that I love. Number one is my family. Some of my siblings are here. I know where you are from. I can easily shoot you. My sister's here. My brother's there. I came from a very big family, okay? My older brother is excellent in computer graphic designs and all that. My sister is into nursing. My other brother is into cooking and some wild stuff outside. And our youngest into extreme sports of longboard. And the other one is an architect and claims to be the most handsome in the family. But that's not true. I am the best, okay? So, I'm sorry guys, ako nandito. Next time, you'll be here. Alright, the second thing that I love is my ego. So, my ego? Yes, he's my dog, okay? He's my standard schnauzer. And guess what? I think there are only 25 people in the Philippines who has this dog. So, yun. Alright, third is my Xbox One. In times of troubles, trials, stress, and boredom, I run to my Xbox One and just turn it on, run my Forza or my dance, whatever it is, and then I just sweat myself away. So, yun. And lastly, the very important thing that I love, aside from my family, is the next generation. Alright? Because there were people in my life who invested and believed in me when I was young, I've learned to also value what God has called me, and that is to also reach out the next generation. It is just not mine, but as a movement, it is our heartbeat to reach out the next generation. The next generation will never be a side issue for us, but it will always be our priority. And this is not a victory thing, or this is not an every nation thing, but this is in the heart of God. The next generation has always been a priority when you talk about the heart of God. That is why we are having this series called Game Changer. All right. The reason why we are having this Campo Sunday, you may look around, ang ingay-ingay nila, parang, you know, for the older guys, parang I cannot jive with the music. I cannot catch up with them jumping there, here, and there. It's okay. And before you exit or before you say, ay, it's not for me, it's for the next generation. Wait till I finish. Then you'll realize, it's for them, not the I. Just joking. My point here is that, yes, this is for them. But I want us to understand that we have a role to play. If you are an older generation, if you're a parent here, if you're an educator, if you're a working professional, you have a role to play in shaping the next generation. And we're going to talk more about that. Now, as I go into the topic, game changer, what is basically a game changer? Now, my friend who wrote a dictionary said this, that a newly introduced element or factor that changes an existing situation or activity in a significant way. In other words, game changer is basically, you know, there is already an existing norm. Once you introduce something into that existing norm, eventually it will change. Or it could be there's already been a standard of things that are done, or you know, there's already been a standard of how products are used or manufactured, produced. But once there's a product that is way better, it can actually change how some other products may go about in the next production. And that's what Game Changer is all about. Now, for example, this one. Who among you here are seated to a person who has an iPhone 1? iPhone 1. Grabe. iPhone 1, the first generation iPhone. Or who among you here is seated next to a person that when it was released, he or she sold everything just to have this? Yun, okay? Alright, iPhone 1. When iPhone 1 was launched, it completely revolutionized how other cell phones or other gadgets were designed. Touchscreen, serious camera, iTunes built-in, endless customization of apps, and the Apple's trademark flair for design. And because of its powerful iOS, it has become a standard even to the next existing phones like Androids and others. It becomes a basis when you create other products. Now, another one is this guy. Okay, Stephen Curry. You know, I personally am not a basketball guy. I don't play. But why I am showing Stephen Curry? Simply because when Stephen Curry was introduced in the world of basketball, he did not actually change how basketball looked like or the things that's happening in the basketball world. But because of his lifestyle, because of the system and, you know, the conviction that he lived on, he literally was able to change how we view leadership and how we view relationship in the area of loving your spouse. From changing the game of basketball to effecting the change in the world, this Golden State Warrior superstar is leading a life of leadership and service. That is why, you know, na-change po atong perspective of how it is to work in a team. That is why it became so popular right now. There is strength in
numbers.
You see, it became so popular. Now we understand that when we get together, there is power in being together. And their team, with his leadership, was able to use that. All right, third and last one is our Spotify. Now, why is Spotify considered as a game changer? Now, for older folks, you can agree with me, na dati, we have this big disc record, right? And you play it, and you collect that. Imagine if you have, let's say, 54 favorite artists, and these 54 artists release album at the same month, and you want all that album to be with you while you are studying. How would that look like? 54 records? Diba? It's so bulky. Now came the cassette tapes. How many here naka-experience cassette tapes? Now, after that, we have online purchases of music. CDs and then online purchases of music. Okay? Then came Spotify. Why Spotify? Because you can have as much music as you like without being disturbed with the memory it is consuming. Because when you buy or purchase albums in iTunes or in Android, it consumes much of your memory. But with Spotify, you can have music all you want. Pwede pa siya naka-offline. So, that is what we talk about, game changer. Things or people that came about that literally changed how we view things, how we view a situation, or it probably have made an impact in our life that allowed us to behave in such a manner because of their life. So that is basically what game changer. Kumbaga, let's say we're playing basketball here and all that stuff, and then I have a good team, and then for some reason, a good Stephen Curry comes into our team. Yeah, Barrio game rani. Who do you think will win? Of course, kami. Kasi naman namo si Stephen Curry, he will literally change the atmosphere of the game. And that is what we talk about, game changer. Alright? And we're gonna talk about changing the world has no age limit. If you are seated next to a student, tell that person, you are a game changer. Ayun. Alright? Now, if you're seated next to an older folk, probably a parent, a teacher, or a working professional, tell them that you are not left behind. All right. Now, as we read this scripture about a person in the Bible, young as he is, he was able to literally change the atmosphere of his nation despite the situation of the country. Now let's read 2 Chronicles 34:1-2. It says here, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign in Jerusalem, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem, and he did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and walked in the ways of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. We will be looking at to a story of a young person who made a massive impact in his nation. And that is basically King Josiah. Now, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign. Who among you here, when you were 8 years old, you were already running for president? Okay. Or who among you is seated next to a person? Maybe not in their 8 years old, but when during your college year or high school years, pag nagani mingon si ma'am, leader, mapush jug ka. Okay? Who among you is seated to a person that looks like a leader? Okay. Mas in looks lang, kasi looks can be deceiving. Now, imagine with me, Josiah was 8 years old and he was not leading 2 to 3 people. He wasn't even leading a classroom of 36. But he was leading a nation of Israel. And that's like how many people? And at 8 years old, I could still remember when I was 8 years old, I would be playing with my Spider-Man figurine and I would just imagine him jumping from one building to another. I would be buying cardboards and cut cardboards and make buildings and let him swing from one building to another. That's what I was doing. But Josiah, at 8 years old, was called to lead a nation. You know, imagine with me, how possible could an 8 years old be able to lead a nation? Kung kita mang ganing maglisot at lead sa atong own life, towards following God, towards the life that God has for us, how much more this kid to lead a nation? Kita magiging maglisot tag, pakaon sa itong iro, go with our schedule, mumatag sa'yo para sa itong 7 a.m. class. Di ba? Agree? Or maligo man lamang for your 7 a.m. class. Okay? Or even the hardest decision in college would be, oh my, 6:59 na, manut brush or dili? Ay na lang. Alright? Even that, we are struggling with that decision. But we see here that there's an 8-year-old called to lead a nation. And walked in the ways of David his father, and he did not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Now I want to give you a picture of King Josiah. Cute, right? Yes, he looks cute. But the responsibility overwhelms him. The responsibility is really daunting. At 8 years old, leading a nation. How could that be possible? He was 8 years old when he reigned king. Josiah had everything going against him. If we look at the life of Josiah, Josiah was like 8 years old. Kumbaga, gihatagan siya og opportunity or gihatagan siya og position. But in that position, what he see is all destruction. All he sees every day is sin and destruction. You know, when I was working, so I was following someone, and this person ahead of me in my position, he wasn't really actually doing good. There was a lot of compromises that he was doing in his workplace. You know, when the company found out the things that he was doing, he was removed and I was moved up. So when I came there, it was all messy. I have to go back from the scratch and start working my way towards cleaning a lot of systems and all that. And that's exactly what happened to Josiah. At 8 years old, the kingdom of Israel was given to him. And guess what? Sana man lang, Israel was in the right way. Or kumbaga, untana, nice ang Israel atong time. But at that time when it was given to him, it was all destruction. It was, you know, everyone was going against what God would want them to do. And that's like very difficult. Not only was he 8 years old in leading the nation, but what he is leading is all against Iyaha. Why did the nation went into that level? What happened to the nation of Israel? Well, basically, his grandfather Manasseh was a record-setting sinner. 2 Chronicles 33:9-10 gives us a picture. But Manasseh led Judah and the people of Jerusalem astray so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. You see, this is what happened kasi. Before Josiah came, there were past kings before Josiah, and these past kings were doing evil in the sight of God. They consecrated their nation towards sin and destruction. Kumbaga, puno jud og sin. Submerged into sinfulness ang nation of Israel this time. Alright? And that's because of his grandfather. And I want to point this out that the Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. And a lot of us here right now, God has been talking to us. Don't go there. Don't do that. Alright? God has been speaking to all of us. But the sad reality is because we want our own flesh to be satisfied instead of satisfying the Word of God in our lives, we don't want to listen to God. And because of that, we led our life to our own destruction. And the truth is, God doesn't want you to be there, but because of our decision to gratify our flesh instead of gratifying the Word of God or what God is telling us, we place ourselves in an area where God doesn't want us to be. And that's exactly what happens to Manasseh. Because he did not pay attention to what God has been saying. Here's the thing, he also influenced other people because also the people together with Manasseh, they paid no attention to what God has been saying. And because of that, the nation of Israel was led towards their own destruction. And that's exactly how his grandfather's life ended up. And just to paint you a picture of how evil this grandfather is, in 2 Kings 21:16 gives us a picture. Manasseh shed very much innocent blood till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. During this time, you know, Manasseh was ingani siya ka daring, ingani siya ka sinful, that even his own children, he would sacrifice it to his own false gods. That's how sinful he is. Manasseh sacrificed his own children to his false god. He would severely be shamed and punished by God, and this would cause him to repent. Yes, he can do that, but the damage has already been done and it's already permanent. Now, after Manasseh died, came Amon, the son of Manasseh, which is the father of Josiah. Now, ito naman si Amon, copycat, okay? What the father does, the son does. Kumbaga, what the monkey sees, monkey does, okay? Now, Amon, it says here, he did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and his father Manasseh had done. Amon worshipped and offered sacrifices to all the idols Manasseh had made. Amon ruled for 2 years only, but his life as he was living was dictated and was influenced by the life of his father Manasseh. And I want you guys to look at this one. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord as his father Manasseh had done. I want to point it out. Father-son relationship. Guess what? Yes, you can check out on me and say, this preaching could be for the next generation. But let me tell you this, for you older generation, whatever you're going to do with your life, you will shape the next generation. Whether you like it or not, there will always be a next generation after you. And how you are living your life, it will affect them. There will always be a next generation after us, and they are listening and watching our lives closely. And if we are not careful how we lived our lives, then we are shaping a generation just like us. If you look at yourself right now and you feel like you are irresponsible, you have a lot of issues, you have a lot of compromises you're doing in your life, let me tell you this. Let me paint you a picture. Imagine if you get to multiply that kind of a person, let's say 3 more lang, 3 more compromiser, 3 more sin-indulging, 3 more ungodly. And then that will again multiply and multiply and multiply. What does our nation look like if we have those kinds of people? I want to talk to the young professional. Sometimes we're so consumed with running after our job, running after getting paid, getting money, being successful, running after romance, relationship, and all that. I'm not saying that's bad. But if our mindset is not to shape the next generation, then we fail to raise up a generation that will someday impact this nation. Sometimes we miss the opportunity that where we are right now in our season of our life is a platform to shape the next generation. Sometimes we're just so consumed about our own lives that we miss to understand that there is a dying generation, and all we need to do is man ourselves up, you know, be the woman God has designed you to be for you to impact the next generation. Sometimes palangay lang ta, palami lang sa tong life, and we don't understand that we're actually shaping a next generation. And if we don't embrace this truth and this reality, the cycle will just go on and on. We will always have a generation that is bastardo, you know, a generation that does not honor women, a generation that does not respect parents, if we are that generation right now. That is why it's very important that you get to understand the value of the season that God has for you. Always put this in mind. There will always be a next generation after me. All right? Why don't you tell that to your seatmate? There's a generation following you. All right? Now, talking about this, talking about the next generation watching and following us, you know, I have a friend who really embraced this truth. And this good friend of mine, she's really busy right now. Sadly, we haven't keep in touch, and she's been running her own shows in America. I'm talking about, you know, Taylor Swift, okay? Now, Taylor Swift was able to embrace this truth, and this is what she said on one of her interviews. The truth of it is that every singer out there with songs on the radio is raising the next generation, so make your words count. She understands that there is a generation after her. That's why she's careful of the song that she's writing. I know you're saying na, her song is just about ganito, the next thing, the next guy. But if you compare her song to other artists, you would see in her song that it doesn't go with the norm. The sex, party, and drugs kind of theme. It's all about relationship and all that. But she's careful. She's careful how she writes her song simply because she knows that there is a generation that is watching her closely. And that is the same with us. We should learn to understand the season that God places in so that we can maximize this season to shape the next generation. 2 Chronicles 33 and 25 tells us that then the people of the land killed all who had plotted against King Amon. So gipatay nila si King Amon, and they made Josiah his son king in his place. Now during the 2 years reign of King Amon, it was all foolishness. It was all bent towards sinning. And then came Josiah. When Josiah ruled the country was full of sin and evil. Kumbaga, that's the story before he became king. Now question, at 8 years old, is it possible to change a nation so bent on destruction? 8 years old, kaya? Or if yes, how much difference can one person make when surrounded by so much sin? Or is there even any point to changing the situation? I mean, you're 8 years old and this has been the norm. What's the point of changing it, right? Or more importantly, can such a young person really make a difference? If you're seated to a young person, look at the person, okay? Ingana na siya gnawong, trust me, okay? Mga walay alimuhag, walay plano sa kinabuhi, okay? You feel like noisy, annoying, brat, kumbaga, demanding and all that. Yes, they may be that kind of a generation, but let me tell you this, God has placed so much potential in the next generation. It's up to us to maximize that God-given potential in them. That is why 2 Chronicles 34:1, Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. What we'll see in the life of Josiah as we go on with this story is that he lived a life, not only did he make a difference, he single-handedly stopped his nation's descent into evil and brought them all back to a level of devotion to God that has not been seen in hundreds of years. How did he do it? How was Josiah able to single-handedly lead his nation from an area or from a direction of a sinful act or seryoso jud sila going against God's will for them to a level of their devotion? And the Bible says that which has never been seen in 100 years. How? Now, as we learn and as we look at the life of Josiah, we will learn and see 3 characteristics of how it is to become a world-changing young people. Are you ready? Yeah. All right. Are you ready to embrace this truth to become a young person that has a quality of world changer? Okay? If you get to embrace this truth, not only will you change the situation of your family, your campus, but let me tell you here, you have that potential to change the nation and change the world. So, number one is that Josiah had unquenchable desire. What is that desire? Desire to seek God. Desire to follow God. You know, we all have kinds of desire. And desire moves us. Like for example, who among you here desires to be the next NBA superstar? Ayun, okay. All right. Or who among you here is seated next to the next pop star? Ayun, okay. Ayun. Or who among you here is seated next to a future president? Ayun, okay? O, diba? Alright, and when you have that desire, it moves you. You cannot be the person you desire if you don't do anything. And that's exactly what happened to Josiah. He had a desire, I'm gonna seek God. That's why the first step to being used by God in changing your situation or to the level of changing the world around you is to make that decision. Who will you serve? Who will you listen? Who will dictate how you're gonna live your life? Because the world has a lot of ways how you're gonna live your life. Music tells you that this is what life is. Magazines would tell you that this is beauty is. You know, and books would tell you this is how romance is, how relationship is. But the truth of the matter here is that you have to make a decision, not tomorrow, not later, but today. You have to make a decision, who will you follow? What voice will you listen to? So you have to make a decision right now, who to follow. And that's exactly what Josiah did. 2 Chronicles 34, 2 and 3 said, he did what was the right in the eyes of the Lord and followed the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or to the left. In the 8th year of his reign, while he was still young, he began to seek the God of his father David. Josiah's father and grandfather chose to worship false gods. They were only bowing to the pressure of the nations around them. They were only imitating the evil kings who went before them. But for Josiah, when he saw the trend of his grandfather and the previous kings before his grandfather until to his father, he saw the trend of sin, destruction, sin, destruction, sin. I have to make a change. I have to do something, and that is to seek God. But Josiah decided to go in a different direction. You see, Josiah said, wala man ko'y makita ang good influence ani. So he went back, he went past generation till he encountered King David, which is basically 400 years away from him. So it's very important that we need to understand who our king is, who our Lord is, who our master. Because if we get to understand the Lord over our lives, then we get to understand the destiny that God has for us. Another verse, I just want to point it out, in Daniel 1:8. Daniel, when he was captured, when another culture was presented in him, Daniel's response was, but Daniel resolved that he would not defile himself with the king's food. He made that decision, not when he was in the situation, but he made a decision prior to the situation. He had that decision, no, I'm going to honor God, whatever it takes. And guess what? These are just food. Lechon, bro, lechon. What's with that? No, bro, I'm going to destroy my relationship with God. If there's one thing Daniel understands in this scripture, because he understands that what that seemingly harmless compromise will lead you to a great destruction. What is that flirty text can lead to? What is that one peep on your classmate's answer would lead to? What is that copit of a 10 peso on your parents' pouch? What is that one white lie we tell to our parents when we're asked serious questions? What is that one thing, seemingly harmless sin that we pet can do to us? And that's what Daniel understands. That small sin can lead us to a great destruction. And the sad reality is when we're there in our destruction, dakong mahay. And the truth is, there's no mahay that goes ahead of us. I hope it does one day, but it will never. Mahay will always be after our own destruction. Daniel made a decision even before he was presented with the situation because he understand that what seems harmless can easily grow to something that is destructive or worse that will master you. Destructive in the destiny that God has for you. Destructive in the relationship that you have now with God. That is why the best decision in life can actually happen when you are young. That's why you have to make that decision now. Young people in this house, don't say na, I have 5 years or 10 years. When I was young, I had that mindset. I'm going to follow God when I'm old enough. I'm going to embrace whatever the world's going to offer me kasi I'm young. YOLO, you only live once. Ironically, people tag it with a life-threatening situation picture. Kaya nga, YOLO, tapos magpakamatay ka. I really don't get it. Anyway, my point here is that, you know, I had that mindset. When I was a student nurse, you know, the worst thing in life is to see people, you know, struggling in their deathbed. And most of them, most of their struggles, they would say, nasayang, when I was younger, I could have spent more time, you know, serving God, pursuing God. End of life na eh. And yes, God is still gracious. He still loves you the same. But you know what? You just miss the opportunity of a great adventure God can bring you if you decide now. That's why it's very important, as young as you are, you have to embrace the destiny that God has for you. You see, 8 years old, Josiah began to reign as king. But when he was 16 years old, he began to seek the Lord. 20 years old, he started purging the nation of idolatry. And on 26 years old, he repaired the temple. What can we learn from his decisions? That in the same way, young people can make excuses about their society, about their family background, or their personality. Ah, dili man ko yung ani. My family is like this. You know, I come from a broken family. But if you really want to make a change, you have to decide. Yes, I'm struggling with this sin. Yes, I'm having issue with this sin. But what does the cross tells us? That you are free from that sin. That you no longer bound on that sin. That you are free. Yes, you may come from a broken family. But what does the cross tell you? That because of God's love on the cross, you can have a good and a better future family someday. That's why you don't have to rush yourself jumping from one relationship to another, trying to be God in your own life, but rather trust the finished work of God in your life simply because God has prepared something for you in the future. You see, you may come from a poor family, you may be struggling in poverty, but will you choose to live in that kind of life and mindset? You may be struggling in this sin issues and all that, but will you choose to stay that way? Again, it boils down to your decision. What will you choose? What truth will you choose to embrace? The truth of the world? The DNA your parents are passing on to you? The situation that you brought yourself into? Your past? Let me tell you this, all of it does not dictate the person you can become. But rather, go to the cross. Look at the cross. What did God do on the cross? Did He not won us there? And did He not declare destiny for us when He chose the cross? You see, I want to show this picture. His name is Kim Paloma. He studied in Negros Oriental State University. And he's one of our victory group leader, one of our musician here. He's also a geologist. Now, when we were reaching out to him, discipling him, he came from a family that, you know, has been struggling financially. But when we preached to him, our challenge to him is that, bro, will you allow the situation of your family to dictate how you're going to live your life? And then he started embracing this truth. And you know what? You know, the music team can attest to this. I can attest to this. But when he's around with us, we will never feel like, kawawa naman to si Kim, walang makain. No, he had that disposition. No, I don't want people to look at me as kawawa because I know my God is a provider. That's always his mindset. He keeps texting to me, Kuya, please pray for me. Midterms is coming. Money is not yet arriving. Sabi ko, come on bro, you know, let's be in faith on that. You know, as much as I want to give a portion of my earnings, but I have it in my heart that I want to see something in this person's life. I want him to trust the faithfulness of God. And just a few minutes, he would say, Kuya, can we meet? He would start buying food and all that. Kuya, I have money. More than what I need, I can treat you for dinner. Wow. This guy gets to experience God simply because he refused to live a life that has been dictated by the situation of his family. And here's another thing about this guy. The testimony of this person. There was this time, you know, we just had a random talk and he said, Kuya, sorry, I've been texting this girl. Crush na ako siya. But I stopped now. What made you stop? Kuya, I realized that the destiny that God has for me. That time, the girl started deep talks about their relationship. And then the girl started offering sex. And this girl is not ugly, I'll tell you. You know, he was just so blown away na, wow. Parang, wait lang. This generation, ladies are offering this. My goodness. And he realized, I will not. Yes, lalaki ako, cravings as a lalaki, but I will not allow my situation to be dictated by my cravings and what the world says. And right there and then, he stopped and told me that. I was just blown away by the decision of this guy. Imagine with me. Imagine if we get to raise up more person, more student like him. Imagine if we get to raise more men like him who would also go out there and reach out to the campuses and influence other students and share the same value as he is embracing right now. What kind of a nation we will have if we will multiply this man? You know what? There's a lot of story and he's just one of them. His family's financial status did not hinder him to be the man God destined him to be. And in fact, he just graduated, he passed the board exam, and he's now one of our geologists. And you know what? He said, Kuya, now I am enjoying what it is to be blessed by God. And he's now blessing and helping his family back in Surigao. The second characteristic I want us to embrace is an uncompromising decision. Now that we have a decision to make, we have that decision, I'm going to follow God. Now we make something, and that's to do an uncompromising decision. 2 Chronicles 34:3 and 7 teaches us, in his 12th year, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of high places, Asherah poles, and idols. Under his direction, the altars of the Baals were torn down. He cut the pieces to the incense altars that were above them and smashed the Asherah poles and the idols. So I just want to go to the word purge. Now, on the 20th year of Josiah, he started purging, you know, the nation of Israel. Now, purge, tahar, means to purify and cleanse, be pure, uncontaminated, to be morally innocent and holy. Josiah was determined to obey God's command not to make idols and graven images. He was that committed. Not only did he purge his own territory, but he went beyond that to the point that he started purging the entire nation of Israel. After Josiah's decision to seek God comes a very detailed wrecking plan. In the same way with us, when we have made a decision of who we want to be, diba, then we have that detailed plan. Okay, I want to be the next pop star, so I will not be drinking cold water, I will be religious in my voice lesson, and all that stuff. Now, in the same way with Josiah, when he made that decision, I'm going to follow God, I'm going to seek God, comes a very detailed wrecking plan. He systematically and thoroughly destroyed all forms of idol worship in his country. Dili some, but all forms of idol worship. Because Josiah destroyed everything that was dishonoring to God because there is no middle ground between God and sin. Josiah understands this, that there is no middle ground in our relationship with God. Every little bit of compromise is an indicator in our life that God is not Lord over us. That sin is still Lord over us. When we allow sin to rule over us, once lang naman eh, no one's watching. And you start opening your laptop or your mobile phone and you're there indulging yourself in a sight where you shouldn't be. Yes, people don't see it. But that decision dictates that your life is still in bondage. That your life is dictated by your hormones, by your desire. And it gives you a picture that God or Jesus is not Lord. Because if Jesus is not Lord of all, He is not Lord at all. All right. Now, and here's the real thing. We cannot affect real change while these compromises are in our lives. One of the most common failings of even good kings in Judah is this phrase. The high places, however, were not removed. 2 Kings 12:13 gives us a picture. High places were not removed. 2 Kings 14:4, high places were not removed. 15:4, high places were not removed. What do high places represent? It's basically anything that is sinful that we think we can pursue alongside with God. High places promises success, security, prosperity, or peace, but it requires us compromise. Maybe our high places a financial compromise. Okay lang mag-steal. I'm gonna give a portion to God naman eh. Maybe it's moral compromise. Okay lang, kasi norm naman to sa mga guys. Pornography, masturbation, jumping from one relationship to another. This is the norm. I'm gonna do this. Or probably, it's giving in to peer pressure. Everyone in the campus is cheating, so I'm gonna cheat. Everyone's backbiting, so I'm gonna do it the same. These are our high places, and God is challenging us right now to purge it, to destroy it, because there is no middle ground between God and sin. It's either you are 100% committed in following God or you're 100% bent in destroying that relationship with God with your compromise. And in the cities of Manasseh, Ephraim, Simeon, and as far as Naphtali, in their ruins all around, he broke down the altars and beat the Asherim. In spite of Josiah's young age, you may look at, nah, he will not make into something. He was able to lead and transform the nation. If young people want to be used by God, they must get rid of sin in their lives. They must learn to destroy any middle ground that comes between their relationship with God. 2 Timothy gives us this picture. So flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace along with those who call on the Lord with a pure heart. What you don't fight in your youth, you will carry it to your adulthood. That's why you have to learn to fight it now. If you want to change the world, then you have to learn to embrace this non-negotiable trait, moral excellence. We must learn to embrace this. Jimmy Elliot says it, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what cannot lose. He could be martyred, okay, because of his decision to go out there, even if he knows he will die. You know, he still went there. And because of his decision, who killed him got saved, and the entire tribe got saved. Okay, because of his decision to stand for the gospel, whatever it takes, a life has been transformed. Another one is Malala, a Pakistani girl who stood for the rights of every young woman and for the rights of education. Because of her decision, because of her life, a lot of young women right now are enjoying education in the land of Pakistan. In the same way with us, a question I want to leave to all of us. What are you standing for? What are you fighting for? If it isn't for the gospel, if it isn't for changing the next generation or influencing someone to fix their eyes on God, then it comes to nothing. I want to show you this picture of these young men. I get to spend time with these guys a lot. And what I love about this person is that they have that uncompromising decision and unquenchable desire to follow Jesus. I get to hear stories na, you know what, kuya, grabe sa room, allowed ang cheating. Wala ba katuon kaayo, but you know, I just want to choose to honor God with it. Because of that decision in their lives, they're making a buzz in their classroom. Eventually, they were able to lead some of their classmates. Look at them. They look bungis-ngis, hugawan, or sabaan, annoying, and all that. But you know what? With the lives of these people, they're making a difference in their campus. They're making a stand no matter how hard it is. Quick review, unquenchable desire, uncompromising decision, lastly, unwavering devotion. 2 Kings 23:22 gives us a picture. Neither in the days of the judges who led Israel, nor in the days of the kings of Israel and the kings of Judah, and had such Passover been observed. But in the 18th year of King Josiah, this Passover was celebrated to the Lord in Jerusalem. Furthermore, Josiah got rid of the Medians and the Spiritists. It gives us a picture here that Josiah went back celebrating Passover. Why is he going back to celebrating Passover? Simply because that Passover is an indication, a reminder of God's faithfulness in the land of Israel. And what does devotion, you know, mean? Devotion means devovere. It means in Latin to consecrate, to set aside for something, for higher and holy tasks. Josiah saw and understand that his kingship is a place for God to move, not a platform for personal gain. He was devoted to honor God in wherever he is in the area that God has been giving him. In fact, he is praised for being the single most devoted king to God. In many ways, he surpassed David himself. That is the life we want to see in our next generation. That they be the person God has called them to do. And because of the decision of Josiah, this is what happened. And Josiah took away all the abominations from all the territory that belonged to the people of Israel and made all who were present in Israel serve the Lord their God. Because of his life, he was able to influence the nation to serve God. All his days, they did not turn away from following the Lord, the God of their fathers. As I come to an end, I just want to review this one. Unquenchable desire. Unquenchable desire for what? To seek God. Uncompromising decision. Unwavering devotion towards God. You see, changing the world has no age limit. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, God has placed a great destiny in your life to change and influence the people around you. The question is, what kind of influence are you giving them? What kind of influence are you allowing them to see in your life? And I hope that influence is about them getting to know God, getting to know that God that you are serving, that God that you are always coming here, And that is what we want to see in the next generation. These kinds of characteristic. Because why? The next generation is worth believing. I am here. I am standing right now in front of you because an older generation believed in me. And that's why we are willing to make a fool of ourselves just so the next generation will understand the destiny that God has for them. We are serious about this calling. That's why we have youth services. We have that high school blast because we want them to see that their life shouldn't be wasted on something else, but they can have a great adventure when they are with God. Secondly, the next generation is worth investing. And trust me, when you invest in them, you see a future ahead of us. You want to change the future? Then change the next generation. This is the campus team. I want to present them to you. You know, that's Nats, that's Genty, that's Haya, married to Tom, our campus director, that's me, and that's Mav. We could have been somewhere else. We could have been pursuing our own dreams of becoming rich and famous. But you know what? We are willing to set all that to answer God's call in our life to reach out the next generation. Young people, I want you to understand this. We are willing to be a fool for you, for you to understand what God has done for you. Because some of that, those teams, we've wasted a portion of our lives in our college and we don't want you to be there. We want you to embrace this truth because God has destined you to change the world. God has not just called you to change a certain situation, your family, you know, in the four corners of your classroom, but God has called you to influence the world. And unless you make that decision right now to follow God and allow God to be your Lord, then there's no change that will happen. Not even to your own life. That's why these guys made that decision. They embraced the truth in their life, and right now, they're doing to other people as well. Shout out to our campus leaders. I'm proud of you guys. You are the validity of our calling. We look at your lives, and we're just so grateful for what God is doing. This is our vision, church. Our vision is to see students eternally changed by God and making a mighty impact wherever God has placed them.